three-verse passage in Philippians, this would be the one. Because it gives us God's will for His children regarding making a difference in this world, which is why we're here. Amen? So let's start at verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. So holding forth the word. That'll be our title. Let's pray. Lord, give us wisdom. Give us the Holy Spirit presence. And Lord, may we listen and learn and respond as the Holy Spirit speaks to each of us personally. May you guide us in your truth. May you be glorified in this time in your precious word. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. What God is teaching us is that He wants us to make a difference in this world. Amen. We're the light of the world, as we've been told, and we'll see many other scriptures that teach that. But it's our job to shine, amen, and to hold forth the word of life. And in this passage, He's giving us what He wants from us so that we can be effective at our mission, which is to shine and to hold forth the word of life. So it starts with, to be effective at these things, we must internally be right, and we also must have a good testimony outside the church, which you probably saw. So notice verse 14, do all things without murmurings and disputings. That word murmurings, the Bible definition is like a secret displeasure, unhappy with whatever. We already know how God feels about murmuring, don't we? We've seen it enough times with Israel. They got punished more for that than anything, being unhappy. And then it says disputing, which is arguing, doubting. The devil's so good, isn't he? When he can get Christians to waste their mental energy on those things, so they can't put energy into what matters, which is shining and holding forth the word of life. But that's the devil. The Bible says, 1 Peter 2:1, laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies and all envies and all evil speakings. Philippians 2:3, just up at the top there, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. So this is God's will, that there be no murmurings and disputings in our Christian walk, that we stay close to the Lord, but then also that we have a good testimony with the lost at the same time. Notice he says that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. The sons of God, which we are, as he says here, we should have a testimony, a good testimony among those outside the flock of God. We look at 1 Peter, verse chapter 2, and we'll see some of this. But Jesus said the same thing. He said, by this, in John 13, verse 35, but this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one to another. The world's going to see that you're different by how you love one another. Notice also 1 Peter 2:9, how you praise. It says you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. We should be showing forth His praises constantly. We should have this testimony among the world, 1 Peter 2:12, just for three verses down, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak evil against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. So he's laying this foundation that we must internally be right with God, but we also must have a good testimony among those that are not saved, so that we can be light, so that we can hold forth the word of life. And then he reminds us there in verse 15, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. That's one of the toughest things about the Christian life, isn't it? We're saved, we're going to heaven, we're God's children, but we have to live in this wicked world. Jesus prayed for us in John 17. Let's look at it, verse 15. And so the answer isn't to run from the world, but to stay away from the evil, which is always a hard balance for us sinners, isn't it? Notice the John 17:15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. If he takes us out of the world, then there's no light. If he takes us out of the world, there's no salt. So he leaves us here after we get saved to make a difference, to be that shining light. Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 10, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. He didn't say, gentlemen, it's going to be easy now that you're my disciples. He never said that, did he? He actually told them many times it's going to be hard. It's going to be tough. And he said, in the world you shall have tribulation, in John 16:33. So we are in the midst, verse 15, Philippians 2, of a crooked and perverse nation. He's not talking about New Zealand there. He's talking about this nation of the devils called the world. Ephesians 2:12, actually. Look there if you would. Ephesians 2:2. We find ourselves born again Christians, heaven bound, mansion bound, living in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Ephesians 2:2. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. We live in the midst of that. The prince of the power of the air. And then Ephesians, while we're there, look at chapter 6:12. Chapter 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So we are in the midst of that. Every day, a crooked and perverse nation. God wants us to be effective in shining. Look at verse 15, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Jesus said it first in Matthew 5:14, didn't he? Ye are the light of the world, he said. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. The two verses down. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Then we get to the Gospel of John chapter 8. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. We have been given light. Ephesians 5:8. Turn there if you would. Ephesians 5:8. If we're born again Christians, Jesus moved in, amen, in the person of the Holy Ghost. We now have light. We were in darkness. We now have light. What does he want us to do but shine? Use that light to shine. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You were darkness, now you're light. Walk as a child of light. So he says, I want you to do all things without murmurings, disputings. I want you to be blameless and harmless, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. And then here is our mission, holding forth the word of life. Amen? Isn't that just gorgeous? Holding forth the word of life. If you had to wrap up our mission into five or six words, there it would be. Holding forth the word of life. Taking this gospel to the world. Holding it forth. We can't save souls. Only God can do that. But we can hold forth the word of life, which has the power to convict, has the power to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. This phrase, word of life, is actually, if you look at 1 John 1:1, is actually a phrase God uses to describe Jesus. So we're simultaneously holding forth the written word of God, but we're holding forth Jesus. Amen? When we share the gospel, that's what we're sharing, is Jesus loves you, Jesus died for you, Jesus rose again for you, and Jesus will judge you. 1 John 1:1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. So when we see that phrase, holding forth the word of life, he's not just talking about holding forth the word, but he's talking about holding forth the Savior. Because they are the same, are they not? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Revelation 19, his name shall be called the Word of God. So So it's our job, if you go to Matthew 16, most of you know this passage, verse 15. Sorry, Mark 16:15. We've been given our marching orders. He wants us to be without murmurings, without disputings, blameless and harmless, without rebuke in the midst. So he doesn't want us to run from the world. He wants us to be in the world, but not of the world, as he prayed, so that we might shine as lights in the world and that we might hold forth the word of life. Mark 16:15, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. That's our mission, holding forth the word of life. And Paul wanted to see great fruit from his converts. He finishes that verse in Philippians 2:16 by saying, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I've not run in vain, that I've not wasted my time with you, Christians, you Philippian Christians, that it's not been in vain that I've invested so much in you, but that you carry this through, that you do shine, that you do hold forth the word of life, so that I haven't labored in vain. And that was Paul's whole life, wasn't it? Planting churches, growing converts. He says, this is what I want from you. I want to see this kind of fruit. I want you to shine as lights in the world, and I want you to hold forth the word of life. Hold forth the written word, hold forth Jesus, so that more can be saved. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's why we're here. And that's what our energy should be focused on. I remember my pastor, he was always asked me, this was years ago, or asked, not asked me, but asked the congregation, how long have you been in the church? And are you able to look around and point out all the people that are in the church because of you? That's very sobering, isn't it? But that's why we're here. We're not here to murmur and dispute. We're here to be light. We're here to hold forth the word of life, see people saved. So we have our marching orders. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your beautiful word, this beautiful passage and reminder of our mission, why we're here, to be a light and to hold forth your word to the lost. May we continue to do that, my Lord, and be the kind of a testimony you want us to be. So thank you for speaking to our hearts. May we take it on board and live it. In Jesus' name we ask this.